Thank you all for being here this morning. I appreciate very much those of you who over the course of this last week visited to the Anderson Church and came by and saw some of your old friends and maybe some of your family and came by to visit. It was such an encouragement to me to have you there on different nights. I think somebody came every night, so I'm extremely grateful for that and to know your love and your support. Throughout the course of our lives, sometimes we realize that we do some things that are wrong. We do some things that are not right. We do things that are sinful and wrong. And sometimes we know it, and sometimes we don't know it. Sometimes we realize it immediately, and sometimes it goes for a few moments or a few days, maybe a few weeks, where we don't realize maybe the wrong that we had done to someone or done against God. Yet the fact remains that so many times we do sin and we mess up. We miss the mark. We err. And that separates us from God. That action. We were talking about in our class this morning how that we need Jesus and we need Jesus' blood and we need it to cleanse us. And as we are dissecting along the way, we kind of stopped a little bit short of that and I kind of asked the question, why? Why is it that we need Jesus' blood? Why is it that we need forgiveness? Why is it that we need to be told that we're forgiven or we're redeemed? Why does that matter? Well, some may answer and say, well, it's so that I go to heaven. Well, I think that's commendable. Some may say it's because I don't want to go to hell. Some may say, well, that's what everybody wants me to do, and some may yet say, well, I just feel like it's the right thing. But ever since Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, we are no longer one with God. We are no longer in union with God. We are no longer in fellowship with God. We no longer have the type of relationship with God that God wants us to have with Him. And then in so many times and so many instances that we want with God. It was all set forth in the Garden of Eden. Man and God in this Garden of Eden, in this beautiful place, this place that God had prepared when He created the world, when He created the universe and everything that was in the universe, and He created this Garden of Eden and He placed man in it. And He said, man is going to live here in this place where there is no weed, there is no thorn, there is no toil, there is no sweat, there is no tear. Man's going to live here. And He gave man a helpmate. He gave man someone to walk with him and to be with him in life, to join him in his endeavors in life so that he could have someone on this earth like him to be fruitful and multiply. And then man messed it up. We took the beautiful Garden of Eden and we took this beautiful place that God had made and we take the beauty of God and we stained it by man's sin. And then we were no longer one with God. We were no longer in union with God. We were no longer walking with God. We were no longer talking with God in the same way because we messed it up. And because we had sinned, God gave down curse on man, on curse on woman. He gave down curse upon Satan and the serpent that he was. But God also said this. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 22. Then the Lord God said, behold, the man has become like one of us. And knowing good and evil. Now lest he reach out his hand and take also the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him out from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he was taken. And he drove out the man. And at the east of the Garden of Eden, he placed the cherubim and the flaming sword. and turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. Man's sin, man's decision to go against the commands and the decree of God happened with the first people that were placed upon the earth. God said, "Do not eat of this tree," and they went and they ate of said tree. God has given us decrees and commandments and things that we should do and things that we should not do, things that we should enjoy and be part of and that we as His children should participate in. He's also given us rules and commandments and guidelines and decrees that say you should not do certain things. And violation of either one of those separate us out of our union with God, just like it did Adam and Eve. So God kicked out Adam and Eve. They kicked them out of the garden and He placed out this cherubim and that flaming sword and it's kind of like the sentry at the guard, you know, on the guard if you played the video games, and they turned this way and then they turned and walked this way and they got their sword and then they turned and walked this way and you gotta, you know, it's kind of like trying, when you try to get to the princess and Mario Brothers and that back there behind that, well, here is this angel that is on the east side and turns every which way and allows no one to make it in. And God had separated Himself out because of man's decision. And in so many ways and so many times, we seek out to separate ourselves out from God. Because we don't want God anymore. I don't need God anymore. And even unto this day, we separate ourselves out from God. Just like Adam and Eve. I don't need you. I don't need your commandments. I don't need your decrees. I can figure it out on my own. I can do this my own way. I can do this my own pattern. I can go about and I'll figure it out. I'll wing it because I wing everything in life. Most of the sermon is going to be wings. We'll wing it. We'll figure it out. And we do that with God. We do that with people who have authority over us. We separate ourselves out. And when we do that, it causes us to sin. Everybody has sinned. Everyone, lest Christ who has walked this earth, have all sinned. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. This is what your sin does. Your sin separates you out from God. Your sin has now made you fallen short of the glory of God. Well, what does this end up doing to you? What does this sin have to do? What does it matter? For the wages of sin is death. This is, in fact, equality in the wage market. If you go out and you go do work, and you go lay brick, you're going to get paid what being laid brick pays. Some people lay brick, and they lay brick really, really well, and they get paid really, really well for it. Some people lay brick, they don't do a very good job of it, and they don't get paid very, very well. There was an ad that was put out in the paper that a company was wanting a welder. They hired up a welder and we said, we pay $14 an hour, $25 an hour. Please send us your weld with your application. So a man took two pieces of metal and he put them together and one of them looked like I did it. I mean, it was together, but it wasn't pretty. It was all jaggedy looking. It had spots and weeps holes in it and little, looked like somebody had fried grease all over the top of it. And then over here, it was this beautiful weld that had been laid together and just laid out just pretty. It looked like an artist had done it. And he sent both those welds in there and the boss said, well, what gives right here? What is this? And he said, well, that one right there is a $14 an hour weld and that one right there is a $25 an hour weld. He said, you just tell me which one you want and I'll do that. The wages of sin. When you work sin, you're going to get paid the wages of sin. The wages of sin are death. This is the work that you put in. This is the thing that gets received from doing that work. The separation of God and His love is what our sin has brought us. By death, we no longer have life. We are no longer alive to God. And we sometimes we know that we did that. We know we're, you know, I know this ain't exactly right, but I'm going to do it anyway. We kind of go into it knowing that we're going to sin and We go into it knowing that the wages of sin is death, and we're like, well, I'm still going, I feel like this is what I need to do. Sometimes we indeed truly stumble. You know, we're just trying to live our own lives and our own world and our own way, and Satan left the temptation out for us, and we stumbled and we took it and we fell and we're guilty. But all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All have received the wages of sin as death. That is what is going to happen. We're all separated from God. In our state of sin, in our state of disease and distress and ugliness, we are separated from God. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, we want to look at these few verses here and then we'll be done. Talking about Jesus, it says, He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by Him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether the thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through Him and for Him. You remember when Adam and Eve had sinned and God said, lest He be like us. It's the plural word of God. And here is, speaking of Jesus, saying He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, for by Him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. All things were created through Him and for Him. In John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And we find out that this Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And by this Word and by this light, all things have been created. And it is for His glory that all things are created. This Jesus, this one whom we are reading about right now, He was there in the very beginning. And just like our sin separates us from God, He seeks out to restore that. In verse 19 it says, For in Him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of His cross. And through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, everything, by the blood of the cross. Making peace by the blood of the cross. Jesus sought out to reconcile. Jesus sought out to reconcile us back. What does reconcile mean? Well, reconcile means to restore friendly relations between two at odds, or to settle a disagreement. Sometimes we need to come together and settle our books. So that's a accounting term where we may have a discrepancy and we need to sit down and we need to reconcile that. We need to get on the same page so that we can be at one with one another. Because clearly right now, we are at odds. We are different. We have a differing opinion. We are separated out. But Jesus has sought to reconcile us. The word reconcile there, it says to restore friendly relations between two at odds. Which means there was at some point or another, you got along. That you weren't at odds. And I think a lot of times we think, you know, well, wait a minute, I've been against God all my life. And it may seem that way. But this idea of reconcile means that you once were at odds, which means if you were at odds before and I'm trying to bring you back, that means that we were, at one point or another, we got along. We were at one with one another. That we got along. And now, because of some action that I have committed, we are now separated out. The question is where were you once with God that you got along? And am I still there today? Romans chapter 7 and verse 9, I was once alive apart from the law, but when the commandment came, sin came alive and I died. There are some who perceive them to be alive apart from the law. That means for some reason or another, you think that the law does not apply to you as of now. You may think of that because of your immaturity. That means that you do not know, you do not understand, you cannot comprehend the fact that this law and this sin relationship. And there are some here who fall in that regard. It very well could be the fact that mentally you are incapable of understanding that. So we have examples maybe that we can see in throughout our lives where this person is mentally handicapped and they will not be held responsible because they do not know the law. And they will not know the law and they will not know right and wrong. We have some, though, that believe that, you know, they are still alive and that they're fine and that they are not going to be held accountable for their actions, and they may use one of these things as an excuse, a cop out. Well, you know, I'm not really held accountable to that because right now I'm alive apart from the law. I do not have to be reconciled back to God because I never left. I am not guilty of sin because I am still with God. I am one with God because I do not know the law. But the question is, are you trying to convince yourself? Because if you're going through the work and the hassle of convincing yourself and convincing others around you that you are not held accountable by the law, then evidently there's a reason that you're doing that. And the reason that you may be doing that is because, in fact, you do feel the guilt of the law. When the commandment came, sin came alive and I died. And you feel dead, but you want to convince everybody around you and even yourself and possibly even trying to convince God that, you know, I'm still alive. I'm still alive. I'm still okay. I'm still all right. I don't need to be reconciled back to you. And we try to push away God like that. It says in verse 21, back to our original text, Colossians 1, and you who were once alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds. We all have been there, where we have alienated ourselves away from God. We do hostile things in mind, in our thoughts. We do things that are wrong. Sometimes we try to do those things and convince ourselves and others that, well, it'll be all right. Verse 22, it says, he is now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. You once separated, alienated, removed yourself from God, did hostile and evil things to God. But he has now reconciled, talking about Christ, he has now reconciled you by his blood. He has now brought you back and made amends for what you did to God. Me and God got this problem. Okay, let me tell you what happened. If me and Haley's got this problem, we got a problem at the house. Not that I know of right now, but let's say if we did have a problem. Let's say we got a problem. You know who's got to fix it? Me. That's 99% of the time I'm going to have to fix it. I'm going to have to fix what I did. Because I'm the one that separated myself out from her. So if I want to be reconciled back to her, I got to do something. There ain't nothing you could do to reconcile you back to God. Your sin, God is good and holy and just and pure. And because of your sin, you are not. You cannot even come before God in order to try to appease Him for the wrong that you have done. Someone else had to step in. The person that stepped in was Christ, who by His blood, by His death, has brought forth an opportunity for us to be reconciled by the blood of Jesus Christ. So why do we need the blood of Christ? So that we can be back at one with God. So that we can be reconciled back to God. Because I'm the one that separated myself out from Him. And if indeed you continue in faith, stable and steadfast and not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. He says that you will be above reproach before Him. You will be holy. You will be blameless if you continue in your faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting around. I don't know where you are in your life. I sometimes look and make judgments that oftentimes are false on. But you do. You know exactly where you are. You know exactly if you're right now in this moment alienated from God. You know that. You know good and well that you are or are not. And if you don't know that, then you are with God. You never left Him. You're still alive to Him, just like what we read in Romans. But if you are alienated away from God, then why do you continue to just say, well, I'm going to convince myself that I'm not? Or is it the fact that we just do not seek out that reconciliation? Oh, we know what to do. We know that the blood of Jesus Christ was shed so that I could be reconciled. Or maybe once you were reconciled back to Him, but you had lost your faith, or you were not stable, and you were moving around and shifting around your hope and looking at different things that could possibly be more hopeful, or fill in a hole in your heart that you thought, I was missing my hope, and you tried some other way or some other person or some other thing. Colossians chapter 1 verse 13, it says, He has delivered us from the domain of darkness. It's a dark place. It transferred us into the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. This blood was shed, this life was lived, this gift was given unto you. Oh yes, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift. See, we could not purchase it, we could not do anything for it. The free gift of life, of grace, of love, of mercy, is through Jesus Christ. See, all this was done so that so that I could be one with God. And I long for the day of heaven where I get to be one with God, where the day is unending, there's no tears, there's no sorrow, there's no heartache. I get to be with God. And God wants you to be one with Him as well. Whatever need there may be, whether you need to move back and be reconciled back, and you need to realign your hope and your faith, and to stand firm is to stand strong. Or maybe it is the fact that you have never been cleansed by the blood to be reconciled back to God. Then you can be cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ, be baptized, and having your sins just washed away. You'd be without spot, without blemish, and you can be one with God. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation in any way, we invite you to come as we stand and as we sing.